This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Kanian. With apologies, the wrong billboard played at the top of the hour. Today's topic is actually the Affordable Care Act. And whether you're in favor of the Affordable Care Act or think it should be repealed, the reality is health insurance exchanges are going to open on October 1st. So today we want to provide listeners with as much information as we can to help them understand and navigate the process of finding an insurance plan. Joining me this afternoon are Kara Stewart, health law fellow with the Kentucky Equal Justice Center, Jason Elkert, who's deputy director of the Ohio Association of Food Banks, and also Kate Keller, vice president for policy and external relations with Interact for Health. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Kate, can you kind of fill us in? What exactly is the Affordable Care Act all about? What's it designed to do?
So the Affordable Care Act was designed to do a few things. It was designed to cover more people with health insurance. It was designed to improve the quality of health care provided in our health care system. And it was designed to start reducing health care costs in the United States.
And Kara, what are some of the elements of the Affordable Care Act that are already in place?
Oh, well, the 80-20 rule is a popular one that's already in place, that insurance companies have to spend at least 80% of the money they're receiving in premiums on health care and rather than administrative costs. And I know that there's a lot of people in Kentucky for sure who've received some of those rebates from their insurance companies, and that's something that's existing, continues to go forward, that people are enjoying, I think.
Also, has anything gone into effect yet on pre-existing conditions? Is that something that's taken effect yet, or is that coming up later? Do we know?
Well, it's in place for children. So when the law was passed, they put that protection in for children first. So families who've had a child who's had an illness and can't get insurance because of that child's illness, that protection's now in place so they can now get insurance. So children are all guaranteed insurance. The protection for adults, for the rest of us, comes January 1st.
Again, if you'd like to ask questions about the Affordable Care Act and the health insurance exchanges that are going to be in place next month, you can call 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Jason, there is that key date coming up, October 1st. What is happening next month?
Well, thanks, Mark. So what's happening next month? I mean, that's kind of the question that a lot of us have, right? Open enrollment starts on October 1st. At healthcare.gov. You can actually go to healthcare.gov right now and look and create an account. And what that's going to do is kind of get you to the starting point. So starting on October 1 and all the way through March 31st, that is the entire open enrollment period. And I don't want folks to think that they have to enroll on October 1st. The plans do not actually start until January 1st of 2014. So starting next month in Ohio, we're really going to be thinking about educational campaigns and what is insurance and talking with folks out there about this might be what your cost sharing looks like. This might be what your premium tax credit looks like, so that we can talk with folks and, you know, on what some of your guests have said about how do we help folks access lower cost health care through those tax credits and cost sharing reductions. And so we're going to be looking at a whole series of events, educational items, and really ways to get out and talk to everyday ordinary folks and really walk them through this process of what is insurance and what is available to them.
I want to jump in real quick to say that healthcare.gov is an incredible resource, and it's where I go to learn a lot of information. But for Kentuckians, we want them just to go ahead and go to connect.ky.gov, K-Y-N-E-C-T.ky.gov, because Kentucky is running our own marketplace, so we're not going to be using the federal exchange. We're running our own just for Kentuckians, and so I want Kentuckians to go sort of directly there. If you go to healthcare.gov and you put in that you live in Kentucky, it'll redirect you to connect.ky.gov, but we're encouraging people just to go ahead and go straight there.
So there's a difference here. Kentucky is setting up its own exchange. Ohio is going with the federal system. Is that correct?
That is correct. And the three states in this region that we have, Ohio and Indiana, are both going through the federal marketplace. And Kentucky has chosen to have their own.
Why did Kentucky choose to go that route?
Kentucky made a lot of decisions. Governor Beshear has been all in. I know he was on this show, but NPR here in Cincinnati a few weeks ago, and he decided that Kentucky has been at the bottom of all health outcomes for as long as there's been rankings on health outcomes, and that we have an opportunity to do something about it, and so let's do everything we can. And one of the things that the Kentucky decided was it was better to have our own marketplace that we could control and suit better for Kentuckians and have a little more access to it. Frankfurt's a lot closer than D.C. That's what I've experienced already and been telling people.
It's interesting. Jason, in your case, you're the deputy director of the Ohio Association of Food Banks. Tell me about the role that your organization is going to play in implementing the Affordable Care Act and these healthcare exchanges.
So the Ohio Association of Food Banks, we were awarded a Navigator grant, a cooperative agreement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. So what we will be doing is we have partnered with 14 other organizations all across the state of Ohio, from healthcare service organizations to community action agencies, and to some various community-based organizations. And so what we're really going to be doing through our partnership is really going out helping folks understand the marketplace, provide education around what that marketplace looks like. We're going to be helping people compare plans. We're going to be talking with them about their premium tax credits, how we might be able to lower their cost sharing, and really helping them understand what the best plan for them may be. Now, we cannot actually tell them which plan is going to be the best. We can give them options, but they will, in most cases, have to enroll themselves, as we are not licensed insurance agents. However, what we can do is provide them with impartial assistance in really identifying maybe it's the top three plans that will really work for themselves or their family based on, you know, their providers that they work with and they utilize to some of their prescription drug formularies. So we're going to be doing all kinds of different outreach, and we've got partners all across the state, and we are ready and working through that process, and we'll be ready to go come October 1.
And Jason, how many federally designated navigators are there in Ohio?
Right now, we're expecting between 30 and 40 within our consortium. There are two other entities that were funded in Ohio, one in the Dayton area and then one in the Toledo area as well. But we're expecting between 30 and 40. But there is something also called certified application counselors. And we're encouraging a lot of community-based organizations. Those individuals or organizations, they have to apply through, in Ohio's case at least, since we're a federal exchange, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. But then they will go, their individual employees or volunteers would go through a five-hour training. And so there's going to be a lot of different ways for folks to get help in Ohio.
The same is going to be true in Kentucky for people having a lot of options for help. Kentucky has three types of connectors, so we're calling those people who are going to help people access the exchanges and find health coverage connectors.
And that's K-Y, isn't it? K-Y-N-E-C-T-O-R-S, connectors.
Right, okay. K-Y-N-E-C-T-O-R-S, connectors. So the three types are going to be navigators, like Jason in Ohio, but the Kentucky side, in-person assisters, and certified application counselors. And they just sort of have a different level of involvement, but just like Jason said, the certified application counselors are going to be the big group. You know, and we recognize that at KJC that a lot of people are just going to go to the sort of smartest person they know or someone they know who works in healthcare to ask them for help. So we're trying to make sure that everyone in Kentucky knows enough to try to access, connect, and use the hotlines.
Yeah, we do expect there to be, as far as the certified application counselors, the organizations that help you enroll, the majority of healthcare providers will follow and do that training. So they'll have people on staff. All of the community, federally qualified community health centers have been funded to have staff on board who've been trained and can go through this process too. So they'll be based in all of our community health centers. And then, of course, we can't forget the agents and brokers community. They will all be able to help you enroll through insurance through the marketplace, keeping in mind, though, that they are paid by the insurance industry. So they still work on a commission basis, but they are licensed and eligible to help people to do that, free to the consumer.
Are any of these organizations local to Cincinnati that will be doing this?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We have an email from Jenny. This sounds like a question for Kara. Let's see. Mom-in-law is 63. The husband is 67. Middle class, private insurance is too costly, and can they get insurance through the Kentucky Exchange? That, again, is an email from Jenny.
Well, the cost sharing is going to shift pretty radically, given the fact that the mom-in-law currently doesn't have coverage through her employer, is what it sounds like?
Not sure. It doesn't really say that. Did it say that in the email? No.
Okay, well, basically, I want everyone to check out their options through Connect in Kentucky coming up here, especially people who don't have coverage through their employer are now going to be able to have sort of equal access, which is sort of part of the law to getting coverage. So, you know, people who are in that gap between retirement sometimes and before Medicare starts, you know, insurance, it's expensive on the individual marketplace for everyone. But once you're getting into that range, it gets really just you can't buy it. So this will provide a way to make sure that there's affordable coverage available.
Does age play a part? People on Medicare, what can they do? Is it going to remain the same for them, or is there something they need to be aware of?
Well, I mean, there's good news for people on Medicare that the 10 essential health benefits that are required by the Affordable Care Act also apply to Medicare. So there's some things that are getting sort of what I would say patient improvements for Medicare. And some of those have already gone into effect. But, you know, some preventative services that the ACA requires all health coverage options to provide applies to Medicare also.
Now, we were talking about, you know, who does this cover? What are the exchanges intended to do? Who can use them?
So the exchanges are set up to cover people who need to purchase insurance on their own. So if you're self-employed, they'd be good for them. They'd be good for people who have whose employers don't provide insurance. So people who don't currently have insurance or currently buy it on their own now. And there's also an exchange for small businesses. So if you have less than 50 full-time employees, they'll be able to shop for insurance for their employees. So it's designed for to provide a transparent, clear marketplace for people to buy insurance.
Jason or Kate, do we know how many people in Ohio this is going to apply to, how many people this is going to affect?
Well, there's approximately between 1.5 million and 1.6, depending whether or not you consider those that might be eligible for Medicaid. And there, you know, that's a lot of folks to reach, but we expect, you know, through the marketplace, some folks will be able to do it on their own. You know, they may have that technological capability, and they may feel comfortable picking a plan on their own. There'll be folks that maybe just have a few questions, and then maybe we'll call the federal call center, or they'll do it on their own. And then there's a group of folks that maybe will need a lot of extra help through the process, and that's where the folks like us, and you've heard certified application counselors, and the federally qualified health centers, as well as hospital systems. I do expect some of those folks to be available to help folks through picking a plan.
And Kara, quickly, how many people in Kentucky?
640,000 uninsured, and around half of those, 308,000 or so, are going to likely be eligible for Medicaid, the no premium cost monthly insurance coverage option. And I think really, though, the number is a little higher because that doesn't include the people who have catastrophic plans with $10,000 deductibles that really don't do a lot for them. So there's a lot of people in that circumstance, too, that it's this will make a life changer.
We'll continue our conversation about navigating the new health insurance exchanges after the break. You can join the discussion by calling 513-419-7100, emailing talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Continuing the conversation about the Affordable Care Act and the new health insurance exchanges that are starting early next month, and we're talking with Kara Stewart, Jason Elkert, and Kate Keller. You can join us by calling 513-419-7100. You can email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And, you know, we're talking about who's eligible. Are there actual eligibility requirements? Do income levels matter when you're using these exchanges?
I wanted to jump in real quick to say that the Marketplace Connect, anyone can go there. Doesn't matter what your income is. Absolutely everyone who's looking for their health coverage options in Kentucky can go there and shop. Now, who it makes a big difference if you go there are those people up to 400% of poverty. So around $94,000 for a family of four. Those people are going to get a subsidy to help with their cost. Now, that subsidy ranges, it goes sort of on a sliding scale from 139% of poverty up to 400. So where you are in there depends on how much of a subsidy you're going to get because the law is called the Affordable Care Act. So it has to make it affordable for you, which would mean something different depending on your family's income status. But everyone can go and shop there. It's just, but if you are at or below, if you're in the almost 92% of uninsured Kentuckians who are at or below 400% of poverty, then you're going to be eligible for a subsidy. So we want to make sure that they go there. Because if they buy insurance somewhere else, through an agent not on the marketplace, then they're not going to be getting the subsidy they'd be eligible for.
And that is, of course, true in Ohio and Kentucky. So the standards for the subsidies are the same whether you buy them through a federally run marketplace or if you buy them through a state-run marketplace, because those are federal guidelines. And we should take note that people who are in the really low-income bracket, the people below 138% of the poverty level, they are not eligible, under 100% of the federal poverty level, are not eligible for tax subsidies because there was an expectation under the law that they would be covered by Medicaid. So Kentucky has done the Medicaid extension. So everyone in Kentucky can have that option. Ohio and Indiana have yet not made the decision if they're going to they've announced that they're not, so we hope at some point they might change that so that those people would have an option for health insurance.
And we will, Kate, in Ohio.
I know
get
you
there.
Will, Jason.
Yeah, and I hope so for all
Jason,
Ohioans.
Kick in there anytime, Jason. Let's talk to Cindy from College Hill. Good afternoon, Cindy.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. How about yourself?
Great. I have a question. I have a situation where I am currently covered under COBRA from my ex-husband's job, but I only have it for about another 5 months. So I started looking into individual health insurance, and I applied to a carrier. I was denied not because of a pre-existing condition or an ongoing treatment that I have, but because I made a claim 4.5 years ago. I had to get alcohol treatment. I did an intensive outpatient program 4.5 years ago. And simply because I reached out for help 4.5 years ago, I was denied for insurance. Under the new plans, will they be able to just flat out deny you for something that you claimed 4.5 years ago?
So that's the key to the law as far as the insurance goes. The point of the law was to make insurance available for everybody and that people can't be denied insurance. So starting October 1st, you can now go shop for insurance. They will not be able to deny you insurance. They will not be able to hold that claim against you in the past. And if you get sick again, they can't cancel your insurance. And actually, under the law, they actually mandated substance abuse and mental health prevention services. So they've actually included more treatment services available for people through the law.
I just find it interesting then that they, you know, knowing that this law is coming up on October 1st, that on September, 12th, they would go ahead and deny me. If just on October 1st they're going to have to accept me, I guess I'm confused.
Well, they don't. Well, what's the answer to that?
Jason sounds like he's got an idea.
Well, keep in mind, though, not every insurance carrier, the one that you may have worked with before, will be on the marketplace. Everybody had, or every insurer had a chance and an opportunity to put forth a plan that would be approved by their state insurance agency. So maybe there's a chance that, the insurer that you're working with may not actually be one of the qualified health plans. In Ohio. And so there's a lot of different variables. So, one of the new plans, they may actually be, you may be able to look at a new plan that will be able to do that for you. So, there's some tricks have happened in the past, but moving forward, those things are going to go away.
Also, it's enrollment on October 1st. The coverage won't actually start until January 1st. So even though we're right up at the edge of that October 1st date, that October 1st date is just the date that the open enrollment begins, not when coverage begins.
And Cindy, thank you very much for your question. We appreciate it. So in essence, though, it is going to get easier under these exchanges to get health insurance regardless of what health problems you might have.
That is the point. That is the goal, to make it easier and more affordable for people to have insurance.
Yeah, it may go from impossible to possible. I mean, it may go from no, we won't insure you, to you can purchase insurance. So that's a pretty big difference.
That is a big jump. Let's talk to Tom from Montgomery. Hi, Tom. How are you today?
Pretty good. How are you?
Good, thank you. What's your question?
My question is probably kind of mundane. I make reasonably good middle class income. My current plan has a huge deductible, almost $10,000 a year.
Wow.
And I pay $500 a month to cover my family, and it covers almost nothing. So there's something for us.
Okay, in other words, your question is the exchange going to offer you something that's going to help you out of that situation? And thank you
right,
for your...
I'm with a major carrier. It doesn't really provide anything, but it costs a tremendous amount, and I have a reasonably good income.
Well, I would expect there a reasonable good answer to that is that you will see savings when you go to look on the exchange. Obviously, I don't know your exact income to know if you'll be eligible for tax subsidies to help you purchase insurance. But if that is the case, then that will help. But there are also going to be out-of-pocket costs and limits on what those costs are, again, to bring down those sort of really high expensive plans. Plus, all the plans that will be available will cover more. There will be no more on the exchange plans that are stripped down that only cover a handful of things. They will have a complete package of services available.
Tom, thank you very much for your question. We appreciate it. Kurt from Ohio, he wants to know, Kate, if we could give the phone number for the exchange, and also we do have links on our site to both states. But what is that number?
I don't have the healthcare. It's healthcare.gov is the website.
Is the website.
I don't know if Jason has that handy for the call center. And then we have Kentucky's handy.
Kentucky's is the website's Kennect, kynect.ky.gov. And the hotline phone number is 1-855-4-CONNECT. That's 855-459-6328.
Okay. Let's talk to Richard from Kentucky. Good afternoon, Richard.
Yes, good afternoon. I have a question. I'm retired military, and my primary is Medicare. My secondary is TRICARE for Life, and I had heard that TRICARE for Life is no longer going to be valid, so I don't know if that's better or not.
Well, Richard, hi. I don't know about TRICARE's plans in the future specifically. I can tell you that you're still going to be going to Medicare.gov to shop for your Part D and your supplementals. That's still going to be going through Medicare.gov going forward. And it's possible that you could go through Kennect.ky.gov and get an entirely different plan that might work for you just as well or better than your Medicare coverage, but probably not. Probably you're going to stick with your Medicare and continue to buy a supplemental.
Well, what I'm interested in is TRICARE for Life. That still be valid or not, because being ex-military, that went with retired ex-military.
Richard, if you want to give me a call off the air, I'll be happy to try to look into that for you, because I'm not familiar with any plans that TRICARE has going forward right now.
I would appreciate that. What is your number?
I think it's on WVXU's website. I'll give it to you right now, 859-982-9242.
Okay.
9242?
Yeah.
Okay, Richard.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your call. We appreciate it. If someone has insurance now and they do want to make a switch, do they have to go through a waiting period on these exchanges, or does the coverage just take effect on January 1st when the
there's a rolling effect? Yeah, there's a rolling window. So as long as you've enrolled by December 15th, your coverage starts January 1st. And then just like it has with all insurance forever, there's sort of a window of as long as you've enrolled by the end of the month, it starts at about 2 weeks from then. So in Kentucky, for the most part, there are about a two-week lag, except for Medicaid, which would start the next day, in theory, as soon as it can get processed.
Okay. Let's talk with Daryl from Indiana. Good afternoon, Daryl.
Hello. My question is, I'm a Hoosier, and I'm getting feedback.
Is your radio up, Daryl, by chance?
I just shut it off.
Okay, good. That'll help.
But the way I understand it, in Indiana, there'll be 8,000 accepted under the HIP program, the Hoosier program, and 300,000 to 400,000 Hoosiers that didn't have health care. What should we do? Move to Kentucky?
Not a bad
okay,
plan.
Okay, Daryl, thank you for your question.
Not a bad plan.
We appreciate it.
Cross the river. Indiana has its own Hoosier plan that was put in place before the law was passed, and they are going to continue that plan. It is not a complete Medicaid expansion, but it does provide some additional coverage that the state chose to do again a few years back. But they also, of course, have the healthcare.gov. They have the health insurance exchange available to the people who do not qualify for their Hoosier plan that they can enroll through the federal marketplace and look at their options there.
Or you're welcome in Kentucky.
I just wanted to jump in and provide folks with the healthcare.gov call center phone number.
Good.
And that phone number is 1-800-318-2596.
Okay, why don't you give that one more time, Jason?
1-800-318-2596.
So that's where
they're wonderful folks.
That kind of answers the question, what if you don't have online access? I mean, can you apply for the into the health exchange by phone?
You can apply by phone. You can apply in there's
by
paper.
Mail.
Mm-hmm. You can apply by mail. I wouldn't recommend that option because then you lose the sort of technological assistance factor of the question and answer, sort of TurboTax style self-service portal. So I would recommend trying to get somewhere, to an agency's office, to a library, somewhere to try to be able to do it with assistance online or over the phone.
419-7100-513-419-7100. If you'd like to call in and ask a question about the health insurance exchanges, the Affordable Care Act, you can also email your questions to talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And with the implementation of these exchanges, is this going to affect people who currently have insurance either on their own or through their employers, or is it just status quo for them?
Well, it's an additional option for people. Like Kara said, everybody can go shop there. So you can go shop and look. Even if you have employer-sponsored insurance, chances are you can't get a tax subsidy if you have insurance from your employer. But, you know, so chances are your employer's plan will be more affordable. But it can be for anybody who wants to shop for insurance. If you currently buy your own insurance, there's certainly now a whole new market for you to be able to look at instead of, and it's going to make it a lot easier instead of calling an insurance, you know, insurance plan after insurance plan, or and sometimes even working with a broker, that you can go and look all of it at the same time by yourself in the comfort of your own home and look through your plans and to see what your options are. Whether or not you qualify for a tax subsidy or not, you now just have more options.
Do we have a specific idea of how that federal site's going to look once it goes into effect? Companies are going to be available, numbers of companies?
Yes, and maybe Jason might have more specific. I've heard details about Ohio, about the marketplace in Ohio of having 14 companies and I think 221 plans available for people. And Kara can answer Kentucky.
Kentucky, ours, you know, looks like all those other websites you've been on to shop for just about anything, from travel tickets to hotels. I mean, it really does. It's very visually pleasing, too. And it's got all of the different carriers and plan options across sort of in a grid, and then the four metal levels. I'm sure some people are familiar with hearing these metal levels, the platinum, gold, silver, which is the benchmark level, and the bronze plans. And so all of these plans, which cover all the same stuff, will be available at the four different metal levels, and you can choose from those. And your subsidy to see – so you might see the sticker price, and that sticker price is not what you're actually paying. You're paying that after then your subsidy is applied. And that's based on the silver plans.
Now, what kind of information are people going to have to supply when they apply in the exchanges?
Well, if you're going to want to know about what your subsidy is, you're going to have to give your income information. So that's going to have to go in there. excuse me, sorry. And then Kentucky is using Kentucky sources for the next year. So Kentucky work number, unemployment insurance information, and Kentucky tax information to do sort of behind the screens checking. And so long as the information you put in is reasonably similar to what they've got in these secure databases, then you're not going to have to prove or show anything. You know, if it's within around 20% or so, then no worries. We're just going to go with what you've put in. If it's not, then obviously you're going to have to scan in some proof of your pay stubs or something like that.
Health questions, I assume, are going to be part of the whole application process, though?
Well, so at this point, the only thing that the insurance companies can charge you on based on your health status is if you're a tobacco user or not. So your health status is now not going to be considered when they charge your when they base your premiums. They can only base your premiums upon how many people you want to cover in your family, where you live, what health market you live in, how old you are, and if you're a tobacco user or not.
And if I'm applying and I already say I have insurance through my employer, my wife is not covered by that plan, let's say. Mm-hmm. Is she able to go into the exchange and get coverage through that? So it doesn't matter if anybody else in the family has coverage?
There's this edge. It's this individual eligibility determination that makes so each household member, you can apply as a household, but each person within that household has their specifics. So in Kentucky, we have KCHIP, and KCHIP provides health coverage for children in Kentucky. And it goes up to higher income levels at no cost to the family than it would for adults. So there are going to be households where if you applied, The child would be covered with K-CHIP. Maybe this person is covered with their employer, but there's still this other person in the household that can still purchase insurance through the marketplace and still get their tax credit and subsidy.
419-7100, the number to call if you'd like to ask questions. You can also email your questions to talk@wvxu.org. You can find us on Facebook or Twitter as well. And let's speak with Jim from Indiana. Good afternoon, Jim.
Yeah, hi, guys. The question I had was, there's been a lot of numbers thrown out here as to who's going to be covered. I think nationwide they're talking about 50 million people who aren't covered, and that the new program would perhaps cover up to 30, 35 million. And I think Kara mentioned in Kentucky, 650,000, something like, and maybe 300 to 350,000 would be covered. Well, what I don't get is who is actually excluded. It seems like this program has been drafted to cover everybody, and with expansion of Medicaid, who's left?
Well, I mean, that's a good question. And
that's a good question. Thank you, Jim.
And good job. You're paying attention. You get good check plus. So it's, yeah, 640 or so estimated in Kentucky, and 308 will be eligible under the Medicaid expansion for the no-cost monthly premium Medicaid program. Then the other 320 or so, 322, will be purchasing insurance through the marketplace. And everyone can, but then the subsidies go up to 400% of poverty. So we're still going to have, you know, a few thousand people in Kentucky that don't currently have health insurance and are over 400% of poverty. So, you know, I know in the Northern Kentucky counties, it's just a 1% to 2% of those people. In each county, we can break down those numbers. But there are people that are over 400% who won't get a subsidy, who can still go purchase, you know, qualified health plans through the marketplace.
Our conversation.
And in Ohio, we have not expanded Medicaid. So we have hundreds of thousands of folks who would not be eligible to participate in the marketplace, and they won't be eligible for Medicaid just because we have not yet committed to that as a state.
Okay. Our conversation about navigating the Affordable Care Act and the new health insurance exchanges continues after the break. And in about 14 minutes, Ann Thompson tells us about Ohio and Kentucky's efforts to boost car battery research. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk@wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. So what's it going to mean when the new health insurance exchanges take effect October 1st? Kara Stewart, Jason Elkert, and Kate Keller join us this afternoon to talk about navigating the process and finding an insurance plan. And you can join the conversation at 513-419-7100. Be nice to each other now. We're talking about who's not covered under this. Now, I know it's a Kentucky-Ohio thing going here, but keep it civil, okay? You wanted to go into that a little bit further, I think.
So we're a little fearful in Ohio and Indiana that our people are going to be crossing the rivers and crossing state borders, as our neighbors around us are all expanding Medicaid. So they'll be able, for people who are below 100% of the federal poverty level, will be able to have insurance in those states. But in Ohio and Indiana, we don't have that option for them. And so when you think about who's not going to be covered under this law, the states that are not expanding Medicaid as allowed under the law are leaving millions of people across the country uninsured. Just in our local region, we have 150,000 people who would be covered through the Medicaid expansion if Ohio were to expand. So that's the local impact of that. And then we also, of course, have our undocumented population. So there are still obviously people living in this country, working in this country, who will not have access to health insurance because they're undocumented.
We have that in Kentucky. We do have people because you do have to be a resident of Kentucky, and you do have to have a documented status and not be incarcerated. But other than that, we are covering everyone in Kentucky. So,
okay, let's talk to Claude from Florence. Good afternoon, Claude.
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm just fine. Well,
good.
I was wondering if there's any provision under the Affordable Health Care Act that would make the extended insurance any cheaper, any less expensive for people in my class. So I'm 71, and I really can't afford the extended health care.
Okay, Claude, thank you for your question.
Claude, by extended health care, do you mean the Part B through Part D of Medicare? No, he's off the air. So I'm not sure what Claude is referencing with the extended health care. My guess would be the Part B through Part D of Medicare And so, and there's extra help programs for that to help Claude with costs for those programs already. Those programs aren't going away. So if you wanted to call here in Northern Kentucky, call Legal Aid of the Bluegrass, locally 859-431-8200, and they'll do benefits counseling with you, and they'll help you see if you're eligible for extra help with those subsidies. I mean, sorry, with the parts of Medicare.
We had a call from a veteran earlier who was asking about TRICARE, and Jim called in. He said that TRICARE will become part of Medicare under the ACA. So that was his take on the whole thing. And he works as an intake nurse, and folks are not aware of that just because they have coverage. These screen's a little bit hard to read, but Jim was saying, again, TRICARE will become part of Medicare under the ACA. Any knowledge of that? Nope. Okay. So we'll just have to take Jim at his word. Okay. Let's talk to Dick from Clifton. Good afternoon, Dick. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you guys?
Good, thank you.
Go ahead. I'm going to give a simple question, I think.
Nothing's been simple today, but that's okay.
Famous last words.
No, I promise. I think simple, but maybe not. I have a Medicare with a 80% and 20% supplemental with AARP. I got that maybe 10 or 12 years ago, maybe longer, when it was the best AARP groups J or something like that. Do I need to look for something different, or is that the best I can do?
Dick, I would recommend shopping every year. I mean, I think absolutely every year in open enrollment for Medicare, you need to be comparing all of your supplementals to see what options are out there. So, I mean, year in and year out, this year is no exception. During open enrollment for Medicare, go on there and shop and look. Go to Medicare.gov and check all of your supplemental options.
Medicare.gov.
Yes, sir. And you can also, again, the legal aids all do benefits counseling for Medicare supplemental plans.
Does it make any difference that if I said my bottom line income is around $60,000 a year? That's
it doesn't matter for what legal aids consider elderly? No.
Uh-huh. You're an angel. It's a great show. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome, Dick. Thank you for your questions. And let's talk to Ed from Cincinnati. Hi, Ed.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. How about yourself?
Not too bad. My question is regarding the Affordable Health Care Act for someone who is, I'm 38 years old, and I'm currently an unemployed architect. I'm divorced without kids, so I do not currently meet the requirements for Medicaid. And I heard your panel comment that if you are below 138% of the poverty level, that those people would not qualify for the Affordable Health Care Act. My question is whether that situation will change or whether there's going to be a group of people left out of being able to afford health care.
Ed, where do you live?
Cincinnati, Ohio.
Yeah, so there are people certainly working diligently in Ohio to have the Medicaid expansion happen for people who were below 138% of the poverty level to be eligible for Medicaid. And obviously, when you look at the numbers of people who would be eligible for that, the majority of them are childless adults. And, of course, the majority of childless adults are men. So single men are the population that would benefit the most from that expansion. But if your income is above 100% of the federal poverty level, if you have some income that takes you above that, then you would qualify for a tax subsidy to purchase insurance through the health insurance exchange.
Or you can move to Kentucky.
Okay. Or you can cross the river.
Thank you, Ann. No, we appreciate the question. Let's talk to Gail from Lynchburg. Hi, Gail. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
Good, thanks.
My question is that my other phone is ringing. Hang on.
Oh, no.
So busy. We have a very small business, my husband and myself, and we get our health care through the business. But I understand that the way the law is set up, that if I'm being employed, if I'm being receiving health care from my employer, I'm not eligible for the subsidy. I am the employer. How do I proceed? I think we would be eligible for a subsidy if it turns our income.
Well, Gail, I've got a couple of suggestions for you. The first would be that you could create a shop through, I mean, and actually I don't know how creating the shop works with the federal marketplace. I think maybe Kate can speak to that. But in Kentucky, you know, you go to Connect just like you would if you're an individual, and you can create a shop just for you and your employees, even if that's just the two of you. That's still you and your employees. You could also just sort of ditch that concept and go with individual coverage and just go through and shop just like an individual unrelated to your business.
Yeah, I mean, I think you should be doing – you should do that multiple assessments. You should look at what it's going to cost for you to what plans are available for you as an employer through the business, through the Small Business Exchange, which will be both KYNECT and the Federal Health Marketplace, have those available for small businesses who have less than 50 full-time employees. Check out what those costs are going to be, and then also do an analysis for you and your workers, what it would cost to have individual plans, because you may qualify for tax subsidies that make it completely cheaper for you completely overall to go through the individual market.
There are significant tax credits to incentivize super small employers. So employers with less than 25 employees with certain average wage requirements, there are some very good incentives in terms of tax credits, up to 50% tax credit on the cost of the premium to create the shop. So you're going to want to sit with an insurance agent probably to compare those, or definitely with either Navigator or Connector.
And Gail, thank you for your question. Connectors in Kentucky, they are licensed insurance agents?
Not
all.
We do have some licensed insurance agents who are connectors. And we've got three sort of levels of connectors. And they range from people like me who are doing it through my work and in volunteer capacities, all the way up to highly skilled, super trained insurance agents who can sell insurance.
Let's talk to Jan from Westchester. Hi, Jan.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How about yourself?
Wonderful, thank you.
Good.
My question is sort of looking into the future. If I decide to opt in, because of what I'm reading in other states who have opted in, they are not allowing navigators or any help for people to work through what can be a complicated system, at least if you haven't had insurance before. What are the regulations or opportunities for navigators if Ohio opts in?
So when you say opt in, you mean goes to its own exchange, creates
Correct.
A state exchange versus a federal exchange. What happens to the navigators?
Well, at this
Thanks,
moment,
Jan, for your question, by the way.
I don't know of any plans for the state of Ohio to create its own exchange.
Mm-hmm.
The governor, and you know, the governor made his decision that he thought it was a better choice for Ohio to let the federal government manage it. And so I don't know if any conversations happening about Ohio having its own exchange. You can let Jason.
And I can say that we do have our own marketplace in Kentucky, and we do have navigators and lots of connectors and lots of people helping people navigate. So,
and I would imagine that even if you were to change, if that ever did happen, you'd still have a need for navigators.
Right. I think what she's responding
Absolutely.
To is the states that like Missouri, Florida, they've passed laws that prohibit federal or state workers for helping with enrollment.
Louisiana,
so that's kind of happening in different states. And that, as far as I know, is not happening locally.
We've got a couple of minutes before we have to wrap up this conversation, but let's talk to John from Covington. Hi, John.
Hi, good afternoon to you.
Thank you.
Thanks for taking my call. I'm an attorney, and I've had at least one client ask me is about this. So I'm wondering if there are any particular resources that your guests can point me to so I can understand this a little bit from a legal perspective, or if there is anything that I need to be particularly mindful of with respect to the exchanges, the Affordable Care Act, et cetera.
Thank you, John. Appreciate the question.
John, thank you for setting me up for that. You can come down the street in Covington tonight to the Center for Great Neighborhoods. I'm doing a forum with the Northern Kentucky Forum. I'm going to be on the panel at the Center for Great Neighborhoods tonight at 6 p.m. So come on down Russell Street. I think 1620 Russell, I think. Come hang out with me there, and we'll talk about it tonight, and we can set up some more if you need to chat some more. But I'm an attorney in Covington also.
So about a minute left. Let's hit this question. Everybody ready for the big change that's coming on October the 1st?
Are we ready? We're definitely ready for the big change.
Absolutely.
Absolutely ready.
Can't wait.
Yep.
Yeah. Preparing
Jason.
For years.
Yeah.
Jason's going to have a big job.
That's right. But, you know, I can't stress what Kara and Kate have said multiple times during the show is really – take the time to compare all of your options. There are a lot of different ways that you might, you know, if you're a small business employer and you're, you know, you don't have insurance, just take the time to really sit down and compare, whether it's sitting down with a navigator or talking with an agent or broker or talking with a community-based organization, just really take the time to think and compare your plans.
Okay, thanks to all of you for joining us this afternoon. Kara Stewart, Health Law Fellow with the Kentucky Equal Justice Center, Jason Elkert, Deputy Director of the Ohio Association of Food Banks, and Kate Keller, Vice President for Policy and External Relations with Interact for Health.